Chairman, and good morning, Minister, and your delegation. I am told the DG is still held in traffic, and he's being shuttle-driven. He's not driving himself. And seeing that the minister and the delegation are here, and we are here, I am sure we can't be starting because we've got quite a long presentation, I think, that we're going to have. And if we can have a presentation from 10, from now to about 10, and then allow questions thereafter, I think that will suffice. But because I think there are new faces and new people, we may introduce ourselves, and then in the future we might not need to introduce ourselves because we all know, or we all should know, who is here and who is not here. I am Patrice Ngoma, the chairperson of this portfolio committee. On my right is the content advisor, Dr. Sibusiso Sohadeb. Kuzwayo. Kuzwayo, I beg your pardon. It's because Sibusiso Sohadeb is very naughty in the chamber. And on my left is Jerry Moltina, who is the face of the committee. If you want to communicate with this committee, it's through him.
My name is Lusizo Makubela, a member of this portfolio committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Patricia Adams, and I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, honorable chair and members. I've got a touch of flu. My name is Malik Masahela, a member of this committee.
Good morning, James Force.
Morning, everyone. Sheila Kreko. Thank you.
A very good morning to my chair, long live the chair. Honorable member, I am Togo Chasa, Minister of Tourism with Team Tourism. The DGM is just on the way. We'll start, from the side.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. I'm Pietro Fenipak. I am the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Office of the Director General of Tourism.
Good morning, Natasha Rockman, Office of the Minister, Communications.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Shamila Chetiar, Deputy Director General for Destination Development.
Good morning, Honourable Members. Lula Maduma, DDG Corporate Management.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Moronga Rampile, DDG for Domestic Tourism Sector Support Services.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Ralph Ackerman, Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, Sureshni Governor, Parliamentary Communication Services.
Good morning, Linda Insu, Business Day Journalist.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Benjamin Knighter, CLO in the Office of the Minister.
Thank you very much. I'm sure the Minister will kick start, and I hope we'll all remember that the Minister, not the DM, the Minister, now the Minister, will kick start whilst we're waiting for others to come. Over to you, Minister. Thank you very much. Before you start, Minister, we've got apologies to be made. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Chair, we received three apologies from members of the committee. Honorable Bekwa, Honorable Kronborg, and Honorable Khawula Chaperson. They have tendered their apologies.
Thank you, Jerry. Minister.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Apology for my voice. I have been affected by aircon in the flight. We are just coming from Cape Town from the World Economic Forum. From the World Economic Forum, which has been, which is very successful, I must indicate. And just one of our successes as a country to host these big events. And the fact that even the content is really assisting to take the country and make the country, a focus of the world to drive African agenda. Chair, honorable members, Deputy Minister and Team Tourism, as we'll be presenting the annual performance plan today, we are presenting within an environment where our economy has witnessed a significant slowdown. And on the side, we're having our tourism growing positively. And that in itself for us is an indication of levers that we can tap on to continue to grow our economy. But at the same time, we have seen positive growth in South Africa's trade surplus in the month of March, as commodity exports jumped on the back of strong global demand, which is an indication that we also moving towards a positive direction. Our tourist figures, the employment in the sector, and our contribution and spend within the sector have all been on the rise. Thus, tourism continues to present a beacon of hope for many South Africans. There are encouraging signs of competitiveness. We also are looking into the ranking of the World Economic Forum, which indicates that South Africa ranks number 51 globally and number 1 in sub-Saharan Africa. Once these growth figures are welcomed and impressive in all respects, there is a need to go beyond just emphasis on numbers to inclusive growth, which is what we wish to present today as part of our annual performance plan, because looking into how tourism can broadly benefit more people and there could be more increased broad-based participation in the industry. We are looking into this annual performance plan that we are presenting today that is premised on the departmental strategic plan for the period 2015-16 to 2019-20 financial year. And we have taken into account the need to contribute to the reduction of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. And as part of the call by the President for radical economic transformation, we are looking at fast-tracking and making interventions now that would ultimately lead us into this inclusive growth. So the DG being welcomed is going to outline where the interventions are in the document that we presented, that would look into issues of the structure of the department, where in our systems we're going to keep to react to the call for radical economic transformation, and where we think we'll be able to look into making our people the owners, enter into the ownership level, as well as participating generally in the economy. And we are led by the vision of the Department of Leading Sustainable Tourism Development for Inclusive Economic Growth in South Africa. And as part of what we want to do, we will be ensuring that we promote good corporate and cooperative governance, and we are looking at strategic partnerships and collaboration. We are looking at innovation and knowledge management. And in bringing the radical economic transformation approach into the plan that we presented earlier on to the committee, we have integrated inclusive growth across all its objectives, and we would unpack that in the presentation. Part of the areas that we'll be presenting, Chair, include the potential leveraging from state-owned tourism properties and or assets, so that we are able to bring in black management capacity. We are looking into areas where we'll be giving our people concessionaires and expansion of affordable products for the domestic market. We are also looking into issues of land for new investment, which is largely in the hands of municipalities where government is concerned, and will be partnering with municipalities. We are also looking into tapping in our own procurement system, because government has a 30% set aside that we are looking at ensuring that we effectively use. And one area here, Chair, is in the expansion of tourism. We are looking into tackling the value chain, not just tourism and hospitality, because this is one area where you find that our products would not grow because they still give out money into the rest of the other entities. They would go and buy and money, therefore, leaves the smaller products that we would have. And we also we are cognizant that the majority of enterprises operate at the lowest end of scale, and therefore contributing less than their potential in terms of a value contribution. So our approach to SMM is what we really are looking at, really shaping and sharpening. because without us really ensuring that those SMMEs ultimately are able to contribute to the GDP, we can continue top numbers, but it would be money going down the drain. So our approach into SMMEs and our increased contribution in terms of support and strengthening our SMMEs, we are looking into really growing our player. We have started in terms of market access, but that market access must really demonstrate the impact if we have given. So be it at SAT, where they would give them opportunity for access in terms of exhibitions, be it locally or internationally. We are looking at them developing a program that entails pre-exhibition, ensuring that those products are ready to get to exhibition, but post, not only for one, they must be able to determine to us to say if it was an entrant in the market access space, even before it starts entering, they are able to show us when it is going to get out and what would be the targets that they are looking at. So that we also are able to talk to them to say, then how many jobs are you looking at developing out of the intervention? So even those that the department is working with and developing the products, we are looking at such kinds of intervention. The DDGs will be presenting on departmental programs. So we're starting at the level of government to use the levers that we have and spread, therefore, to the industry to look into their commitment. Because the issue, Chair, here with our SMMEs is the fact that big business is covering the entire space. So they would not be able to supply or service them if they don't offer. So, but we want them to be ready and we are able to commit a business. So in the identification, it will be a different level as we are giving the support to our SMEs. We also, Chair, would be looking into how we can ensure that these enterprises that we would have targeted have access to funding. We'll be announcing during the budget vote a fund where we are tapping onto from our incentive program, working with a development finance institution and be able to also tackle the issue of funding, which is often the issue with our enterprises, even if we have given them access or skills that they need. So we'll be announcing that, and our target is such that it will include even community-based projects. Besides the your normal working for tourism funding in terms of projects, but there will be this targeted focus in terms of funding enterprises in order to ensure that they get sustainable, they are able to create jobs, they are able to also contribute into the pace of the country for us to realize other objectives of the country. We also are looking into building a skilled and capable and representative tourism workforce, Honorable Chair, and we first and foremost looking into capacitating ourselves, because we have just restructured the department. We want to ensure that we have sharp people who are ready to move with the ball rolling. And we are also therefore integrating our skills development as a whole, our efforts to skill young people in order to enter into the sector. And as part of that, Chair, we also are looking into ensuring that those young people are not just trained forever, and we cannot account to say where they are. Because initially, when South Africans could not be employed in the industry, the issue has been the fact that they don't have skills. And we've been training them over the years. Now, we also have to look and see where they are and how do they get into the mainstream, be it in terms of getting jobs or starting their own enterprises, guiding them to start enterprises that are aligned to the work that you are doing and the targeted interventions that we're going to do. So we'll be targeting to make use of the skills that we have been developing over the years. And also in this regard, the department will be reviewing the regulatory environment around a sharing economy, and also around issues of tourist guiding and quality assurance. We also, Chair, lastly, want to position tourism as a conducive environment for investment. So in this regard, Chair, we will be working closely with the Presidential Investment One-Stop Shop Initiative as we pull together even initiatives that are coming from the industry, looking into investments that are coming into the country, and ensuring that as they come, we are able to line our enterprises to partner with such, and we are opening opportunities for them to really be part of ownership in the investment that is coming into the country. Unfortunately, over the period, we've been left out in the DTI program of industrialists. We are getting back in terms of this approach to ensure that we are lining up those enterprises we are developing so that they also participate, because we also believe that if we are tackling the 9-point plan, we'll be able to fit in your manufacturing, to fit into areas of your agro-processing and line them up with tourism. So, Chair, we are looking into opportunities, new opportunities for in tourism that include marine and coastal tourism. We're looking into new projects that would tackle inland waterways and township tourism, culture and heritage, and also building more on events, because our events are at the moment only benefiting those cities or centers that have got your ICCs, but it's not really looking into the geographic spread, because there are smaller meetings that South Africa hosts that can be accommodated even in smaller cities that would not necessarily have ICC. So in this, it is our view, therefore, that the plan would find some areas where we make these fundamental interventions and then as we move forward and finalize our national tourism sector strategy, which is at the moment going through public hearings, we'll be able to come up with an implementation plan that hardly radically looks into further bigger interventions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. We've just been joined by the Deputy Minister, Tabete, and by the DG. Deputy Minister, do you have anything to say? Then, if you have, after you, the DG will take over and run the show. You're okay. DG?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and Minister and Deputy Minister. We have a presentation that covers the first part, which is the context of the plan, which the Minister has outlined, and then we've got the details of the presentation, the program. We will go through the broader objectives and goals for the sector, and then we'll come into the department and speak about the vision and the mission. We'll look at the focus areas, we'll look at some of the key programs, we'll look at how we are actually going to translate the plan to assist us to achieve radical economic transformation with a view to actually obtain a level of inclusive growth within the tourism sector. We will also look at the policy mandate and some of the policy initiatives. Minister has outlined some of those. And we'll look at some of the risks, strategic risks that we are faced with, and how we are going to try and mitigate against those, which will relate also to some of the details of the actual strategy itself and the APP itself, and also speak a little bit about the restructuring. And then the DDGs will then also go through each individual program and go through what we're going to be doing throughout the year. Honorable Chairperson, the revised NTSS aims to achieve inclusive and quality growth of the South African tourism economy. And we are going to be doing this through five in total specific pillars. One is marketing, the other one is facilitation of ease of access to travel, visitor experiences, destination management practices, and broad-based benefits to the country. We will go through this in terms of the unpacking of the plan. So part of the plan, as they're being unpacked, they would directly relate to these particular issues. Even the structure itself, as we unpack it, you will see that it draws very close link to these particular issues. And as the Minister has said, we are actually using the inclusive growth approach across all these pillars. So it doesn't necessarily sit perhaps in the broad-based benefits. Even when we're dealing with issues pertaining to visitor experience or destination management and development practices, marketing issues, as Minister was talking about, how do we then get the SMEs to actually access those platforms in terms of market access. So it cuts across all these plans that we're actually going to be implementing. The vision of the department still is leading sustainable tourism development for inclusive economic growth in the country. And the mission, Minister has outlined, and I would like to just lift one aspect, which is the partnerships and collaboration. Essentially, we will be able to win if we are working collaboratively with other government departments that have got a role to play in our sector, as well as the industry. So that is the only approach that we would like. We also don't want to miss out on some of the things that are actually happening currently within the industry that we can actually build on and actually make sure that the scale is higher. So there would be small scale initiatives that are done by some of the companies. An example would be initiatives around supplier development that are being done. We could scale up on those if we actually to work together collaboratively. And that's the kind of approach that we would be taking. What are the focus areas that would assist us to drive drive economic transformation to achieve inclusive growth. Sector transformation itself is one of those. And here we have got the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Codes for tourism. So we'll be implementing that, but besides that, we actually have a full plan, which is a transformation plan that looks at other facets besides what is within the code. And it goes into much deeper detail, and I think we would be in a position to also present that to the committee. Research, knowledge management, monitoring and evaluation. In this area, we are saying that for us to be able to make informed decisions, those decisions could be in the marketing area, they could be in the development area, whether we're talking about destination development, they could be in the experience area, whether it is about visitor experience and so on. We need to make sure that we have got up-to-date information that would be able to assist us to determine whether the interventions we are making, the policies we are taking, are actually evidence-based. Skills development in the sector, Minister has spoken about this. We have concluded our tourism human resource development strategy, and we'll be rolling out that particular strategy. Destination development, in here I would like to lift the marine and coastal tourism, which will soon be going to cabinet, and upon that we'll then also be able to come here and outline what the actual plans are. But suffice to say that we have a coastline which is over 3,000 kilometers. And that stretch has been developed, but not necessarily with the approach that we are focusing on developing marine and coastal tourism. So there will be elements here, boat based whale watching here, there will be shark cage diving there, there would be beach experience here, and so on. But we have never really gotten to a point where we say, let us develop this route. So we are proposing the development of this route, but we will then provide more detail about what this route actually entails from the Northern KZN right up to the furthest part of the West Coast. The enterprise development aspect, here we would like to strengthen our efforts, but we also want to take a very targeted approach so that we are able to scale up, as Minister was saying, and we do not necessarily find ourselves doing so many things, but we are not able to actually see the scale. We are not getting to the level of impact that is necessarily required. Responsible tourism, an emphasis here in the APP will be on community-based tourism, and we would like to actually put a bit more resources in terms of driving that particular aspect, whether it is about them joining, I mean, getting into accessing the value chain, or whether it is about those communities getting into the business tourism themselves. And then we would also be dealing with some regulatory interventions, which we'll also speak to in terms of what those will be in detail. There are some strategies that we are using at the moment to be able to drive the inclusive growth that we're talking about. The NTSS, which by and large is the main guiding document, whether it is work done by the industry, by the department, by the provinces, by SAT, all of us actually are drawing from that particular document. The enhanced growth strategy, I think SAT will talk a lot more about that. They will tell you about getting to the 5 million tourists that we would like to see in the next 5 years, 1 million of which is actually within the domestic space. The domestic tourism strategy that we have also concluded, which outlines how we are actually going to step up the game. It moves slightly from just continuously marketing, but also addressing the product side in terms of the supply. The Tourism Enterprise Development Program, we have spoken about this, and the Tourism Incentive Program, this would also be drivers that would assist us to be able to bring on board the new players that could actually get into the tourism economy as well. Ocean's economy, and I've spoken about the tourism, human resource development strategy, destination enhancement program, and here we are saying there's a bit of an emphasis that we're going to put in the plan around townships, rural areas. We've been doing quite a lot of work, and we've been reporting quite a lot of work with regards to that, but we would like to actually look at making sure that the sustainability of this is a lot more enhanced. But in this space, Minister was saying that this issue that we then have to look at land, and so we are saying even here in the cities, where there is an opportunity for us to be able to support, we should be able to support such that areas where we know that the market already does exist, people want to travel to those particular places, we are able to actually also get a level of inclusivity within that particular area. Working for tourism and the Women in Tourism program, and the Women in Tourism program, of course, is a program that the Minister has been driving. We focus here largely at making sure that industry is fully part of this, because the people that then go into the executive, for instance, that go into the executive development program, those people are people that in the end should be able to go back and practice what they have actually learned. So they come directly from industry. That's a commitment that industry is making. We believe that this can be scaled up as well. And then, of course, the people-to-people relations, this is very critical, but in particular, the African agenda in terms of that market that we have not really opened up in totality. The huge market, it has not really been fully opened up as such. The pillars that would assist us in terms of this in the next slide, it's the policy space, and then we talk about the people here. This will be issues pertaining to human resource development broadly, and then the places, this would relate to new products that will be coming in, people that would want to do expansions, and the funding mechanisms around that. And in this space, there's a lot of people that have got plans already that have gone to some of these development and finance institutions, and they're saying, well, you can actually qualify. However, you need to be able to meet us this much. And we would like to see how best we close such gaps. So we'll have to build this as we go and make sure that over time, then we've got at least a reasonable pool of resources that can actually assist us to make a meaningful impact. Spatial planning will be very, very critical. We need to spend quite a lot of time here so that we know everything that we are going to be developing must be organized, and it must be in a way that it would be appealing to the tourists, but overall it must actually be sustainable and commercially viable in terms of whatever interventions we'll be able to report in there. And Minister has spoken about the investment facilitation. Now, we thought we should include this so that we have a long-term view, we're able to see where we are going. Fundamental question may be, but then how many jobs are you going to create this year, or how many jobs are you creating next year? The forecasting models do not quite allow, because they take into account all the inputs that we're making in terms of the strategy, and they then look at the contributions in an aggregated manner. So we can't say this year it's going to be 20,000 or 30,000, but I can say that in the past, I would say past 3, 4, 5 years, we've been growing at a rate of slightly more than 25,000 jobs within the tourism sector as we progress. So if you look at since the time of the NTSS approval in 2011 up to now, there's been significant growth in the number of jobs that has actually been generated by the sector. But coming back to this particular one, we have got 2026 as the time horizon, and this is purely due to limitations in terms of the models that we use in terms of forecasting. Globally, that is still the case. We are not able to go beyond that particular period in terms of assumptions. In terms of contribution to the GDP, you can see that contribution would grow to approximately 150%. And this is in real terms. So this is the real-time value of money of today. And the jobs is plus minus 300,000 over that particular period. That is the direct jobs. Obviously, there's a whole lot of jobs, plus minus 700,000, that would also come from the combined direct and indirect, and increased export earnings. And this is more significant because it helps us with our current account and so on. And we're talking about almost 200% that would actually be over that particular period. So all things given and everything else that we've made as an assumption in this particular plan, working accordingly, we should be able to actually reach these particular targets at ease. There are other targets that relate to the number of trips in domestic as well as the tourists coming into the country and so on. We are saying, how then are we going to be able to see that the plan is making an impact, the plan is achieving something? We are saying we should be able to see an improvement in the quality of life and well-being of South Africa. And of course that is gradual, but it is twofold. There's an impact on people that are actually traveling. Travel does make some kind of impact on ourselves, our well-being and so on. But there is an impact on people that are actually participating in the value chain, whether it's suppliers to the tourism industry, people that are being employed, and people that are actually in the tourism businesses themselves. So we would like to actually see that as this grows. And we would like to see a contribution to the growth of an inclusive economy. But here we're talking about issues of ownership and broad-based participation. We would like to see women empowerment. So these are things that as we progress, we should be able to see the growth of those BNBs becoming something at a scale, the growth of the actual quantitative numbers of people that are actually coming into the tourism economy as well. Youth empowerment and fully broadening the product base in terms of diversification and also geographic locations. So there's still a lot of work that we're going to be doing in terms of that, and that would contribute to an enhanced visitor experience and also a range of offerings that would actually be accessible. More integrated efforts at regional and sub-regional level around tourism African agenda. Honorable members would know that the minister is hosting African ministers at Indaba. So those dialogues that take place there and the solutions that actually come from such platforms, but also through formal mechanisms around SADC, which minister will be chairing the tourism component of which when we chair later in the year. So these are the things that we would actually like to see that come out of this. And getting some of those SMEs, as Minister was saying, to a higher contribution that are actually at a lower level currently. And of course, better access to funding for those entrepreneurs that have got a good case and that are actually able to present something that is bankable and that can actually contribute to growing the tourism sector. Policy, mandate and linkages. Indeed, we have drawn a lot out of the National Development Plan, particularly around issues of inclusive growth, employment creation, reduction of poverty, and inequality. The Act as the mandate, of course, we still focus on responsible growth and development of the sector. The White Paper, we still deem it relevant. And we do believe that indeed it is still appropriate that tourism remains government-led, private sector-driven, but in an inclusive manner, and community-based. And the communities must also meaningfully engage with the business itself. Nine-point plan. And within the nine-point plan, it's important to lift something here to say there was Ocean's Economy. Now, that Ocean's Economy, its component when it comes to tourism is the marine and coastal tourism. So when it goes, it's almost like a sub-component of the nine-point plan under the oceans economy. So when it gets approved, it would actually be implemented under that particular environment, and we will report according to that. The medium-term framework, we contribute there in terms of the four outcomes: decent employment through inclusive growth, rural development, and a better world, as well as the governance related in terms of the capacity of the state and so on. We make a contribution. But we do believe that we should lift out social cohesion. And the reason why we're lifting out social cohesion is because tourism allows people to understand one another, whether it is in the country or it is outside the country. It is really the best mechanism for people-to-people relations. And once we actually have that, it makes it a lot more easier for people to relate. And the rest then follow. Structural changes, we have got, I will talk a lot more about this. We've got four programs. Of course, program one remains program one, the usual typical program one. Program two, we've got policy research, knowledge management, international relations. What we did was to collapse international relations branch into a chief directorate, and that chief directorate then reports into this particular space. And then we've got a new branch, which is destination development, as well as a new branch, which is tourism sector support services. Different sub-programs, as you will see later, have moved from different places and are more aligned in terms of what the various programs have to actually achieve. Strategic objectives. We've got 12 strategic objectives in total. They are objectives that deal with matters pertaining to achievement of good corporate and cooperative governance. And there we lift out the contribution to economic transformation in South Africa. This one speaks to the role of the department as a department appropriated a budget, and it also has to spend. So this relates to how we are going to spend our money to be able to also achieve this particular objective. DDG is going to speak to that in terms of our targeting and so on. Increase in tourism sector contribution to inclusive growth. Here again, I would like to lift strategic objective number five, because when you read it, you may look at it as something that kind of duplicates. But here we are talking about to accelerate transformation of the tourism sector. And it's really purely about the sector. So this relates to the issues around ownership, issues about skills development, participation, and so on, and linkages to the value chain. Now, in this particular space, again, we do have other levers inside government. An example would be in the process of development of all these tools from Treasury with regards to how state organs, whether it's the judiciary, whether it is the parliament, whether it is the executive, or how all of them spend their money on travel related services. This spend is way above 10 billion rand. It's quite a lot of money. So we have made sure that the tourism BE codes are fully integrated into whatever they're issuing. So even people that come into that space and are able to leverage from that, they will only leverage if they are compliant with the code. So those are some of the levers that we've got at immediate disposal that we have been able to use. The remainder, I think the honorable members are familiar with these particular objectives. And then, what are the planned policy initiatives? We are going to be concluding the NTSS after the public consultation phase, and then continue to develop regulations that are required as per the Tourism Act, but also looking at strengthening aspects of the Act that we would like to see in a different light. So in that space, there will be issues of quality assurance. Those are the policy issues currently on the table, and issues about tourist guiding. We have also a big opportunity in the sharing economy, but also a big challenge in terms of how does it work in a manner that is adequately regulated and everybody would be able to understand exactly what are the parameters within which these things are done. We will also look at the policy of the Working for Tourism, the old SRI. So in this instance, we are looking at broadly issues of sustainability, we are looking at issues of controls, we are looking at issues of decision making in terms of which place, why, and how does that actually link to commercial initiatives, imperatives, and so on. The next slides deal with the risks that we've identified. We've identified as a strategic risk the inability to meet transformation targets within the sector. If we don't meet the transformation targets, or we don't bring about inclusivity in the growth of the sector, we don't think there's going to be sustainability of this sector in the long run. So we have proposed different mitigations that would assist us to be able to get to that, inclusive of which is the funding mechanisms that we talked about. We are proposing a transformation endeavor where there will be a dialogue between industry, government at all levels of government, and we would like to see even within government that as they come to the party, they are actually putting something on the table. Where they have got existing facilities that could actually assist us in getting to transformation, we do that. From industry side, where there is linkages that could be created, we are able to see that opportunities for growth within the organizations in terms of skills, employees, and people that would actually rise up to the board level who would like to see that. But that discussion would actually take place at this particular platform. We are also making an emphasis on community-based tourism initiatives and SME development, broader enterprise development. We think those would also be able to assist us to mitigate against that possible risk. The Minister has spoken about the market access, and we think that tool would still be able to assist us, because once you have given support and they know what the business is about and so on and so forth, but if there isn't direct link to the market and they are not able to access the market, there won't be sustainability beyond what our initiatives. And of course, we also identified inability to adequately plan and implement infrastructure projects, and here we have been doing quite a lot of work as we have presented before, and really it revolves largely around the EPWP program, and what we're doing here is to strengthen the mechanisms and the sustainability aspects of the project, the capacity to be able to implement and to plan, and we've got GTEC on board to be able to assist us with that, and the tracking of the project and the systems to be able to do that with ease. So that's an area that we have given quite a lot of attention to. The one other area that I would like to lift when it comes to the strategic risk is the inability to actually get our information out there to the public. So we want the public to know the mechanisms that are within the department that would assist them to be able to participate in the tourism economy. So our developmental communications mechanisms are going to be strengthened, and we believe that's the only way we'll be able to get to the communities, to the people that would like to know more, but also to participate in that particular space. And of course, this sharing economy thing, we flagged it as a strategic risk. We've seen the tensions in the country, whether it is around Uber and so on. And we do believe that besides those kind of things, there are other influences in terms of when Airbnb is operating in a particular street, the municipality might feel the impression that in this particular street it's just normal houses. Yet it's actually a couple of B&Bs that have got so many people in there, and so the bulk infrastructure might not even be in the manner that it was actually made to cater for such things. Realignment of the functions, this is what we're talking about around the structure. So we've outlined what the chief directorates are and pay individual program. So there will be a focus, a dedicated focus around investment promotion as an example. There will be a dedicated focus around tourism enhancement as an example. There will be a dedicated attention to visitor services, and that would include within that visitor service, that would include the complaints mechanism would sit in that particular space. The information services will sit in that particular space. But we have tried to make sure that there's a much greater alignment. SMMEs are together with the transformation mandate. So that actually gives us that particular drive. And within that particular program is the same program that also houses the TID, because it's going to be working a lot more with the enterprise development aspect. So we are now at a point where we have concluded this particular process of restructuring. We have gotten a green light from both National Treasury as well as the DPSA, and we are now at a point where people are now acclimatizing and getting into familiarization with their new teams, and we are also continuously making sure that, as Minister was saying, we develop that team and continue to put more effort into the implementation process. I will hand over Chairperson to Titi Chibula.
Thanks, DG. Thanks, members. I will address the strategic objectives as they relate to Program 1, which is now called Corporate Management. And I will abbreviate my presentation so that there's enough time for all the presentations. Just recapping on the purpose for Program 1, which is providing strategic leadership, management and support services to the department. And of course, our strategic outcome-oriented goal is to be able to achieve both corporate and cooperative governance. Now, under Program 1, we have four strategic objectives that are relevant to the program, with strategic objective 1 being to ensure economic efficient and effective use of our departmental resources. Under strategic objective 2, we're looking at enhancing understanding and awareness of the value of tourism and opportunities. And in the presentation, I'll talk about the targets that are relevant to all these strategic objectives. And then strategic objective 3 relates to creating an enabling legislative and regulatory environment for tourism development. Strategic objective 4, the natural for Program 1, is regarding contributing to economic transformation in South Africa, and DG has already spoken to the inward focus there with regard to that objective. And then I will just skip over to the targets under this program. Starting with indicator 1, which relates to the number of strategic documents that we develop, and specifically referring to our strategic plan and the annual performance plan. The annual target there is to review our strategic plan and the APP for the next financial year. And what we're saying there with our target is that in quarter 1, we're going to review our performance management guidelines. In quarter 2, we're going to submit the first draft of our strategic plan to DPME and also to National Treasury. In quarter 3, we'll submit our second draft strategic plan and APP. And then in the fourth quarter, we'll submit these documents to CCME and Treasury for approval and also table them with Parliament. The under indicator one also, we're going to then also submit, develop our annual performance report for 2016-17, as well as the strategic plans and APP for this period. The under, still under indicator one, which relates to developing our strategic documents, we're going to also prepare for submission to the Risk Management Committee our quarterly risk analysis report. Under indicator two, it relates to the number of oversight reports that we're going to prepare, and we're saying that for the year we're going to prepare four oversight reports relating to our oversight of SAP, and these will be submitted quarterly. Under indicator three, which relates to our vacancy rate, the target there is to ensure that throughout the year our vacancy rate does not exceed 8%, and we've been successful in doing that previously. Indicator four relates to percentage representation with regard to women, people with disability, and it's women in the SMS category, people with disabilities and black representation. With regard to women, we want to maintain a minimum representation of 50% at SMS level. People with disabilities, minimum of 3% representation. And then with black representation, we want to maintain that target at 95.1%. Well, with regard to indicator 5, which speaks to development and implementation of the workplace skills plan with targeted training interventions, we want to be able to implement our plan in its entirety as we've, as we've outlined it in our human resource development plan. So we have a target to incrementally implement on our working skills plan. With regard to indicator six, that one relates to the percentage compliance with regard to prescripts on management of our labor relations matters. And we're saying that our annual target will be to ensure that we comply with regard to managing and handling our grievances, misconduct cases, disputes, and collective bargaining with our two labor unions, TSA and NEHAL. Indicator 7 relates to our implementation of our information communication technology strategic plan, and we are going to be implementing our ICT plan incrementally throughout the financial year. Indicator 8 relates to the number of quarterly and annual financial statements compiling and submitting to National Treasury and the financial statements to the Auditor General. Our annual target there is to compile and submit to Treasury our three quarterly interim financial statements. We also want to submit to Treasury and to the Auditor General our annual financial statements. Indicator 9 relates to implementation of our annual internal audit plan, and the our annual target is to implement it in its entirety for, during this period. Indicator 10 speaks to implementation of our communication strategy, and our annual target is to implement the communication strategy, but also we'll be developing our developmental communication strategy to ensure that there's outreach, particularly to marginalized communities, including our rural communities. Indicator 11 speaks to amendments to the Tourism Act, and our annual target relates to improving, making amendments to the Act so that we're able to improve governance by tourism government institutions, but also improve performance of the sector. And then on the last indicator, it relates to procurement from BBBA compliant businesses. Our annual target there is to have 100%, achieve 100% procurement from these BED compliant businesses. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Morning, Chair, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister. I'm going to be taking you through Program 2, which is Tourism Research, Policy and International Relations. The purpose of this program is to plan for and monitor the tourism sector performance, having sound stakeholder relations and policy environment as enablers in the space. Our strategic outcome-oriented goal is to achieve good corporate and cooperative governance. We are contributing towards a number of strategic objectives of the department. Strategic objective 2, which is to enhance understanding and awareness of the value of tourism and its opportunities. We set ourselves to implement our awareness programs and manage relations with strategic tourism partners and other stakeholders. Here we are earmarking to host a number of platforms to facilitate and improve, so that we can be able to improve tourism sector stakeholder engagement and NTSF implementation. We are also contributing on strategic objective 3, which is to create an enabling legislative and regulatory environment for tourism development and growth. We want to develop here national policies and legislative tools to guide a harmonized approach to growth and development of tourism across the country. The focus here is, in terms of the indicator, is number of policy development initiatives that we want to undertake as a department. Strategic objective 9, this is to provide knowledge services to inform policy planning and decision making. We want to develop and maintain knowledge management systems and ensure effective monitoring and evaluation of sector programs. We have set ourselves two program performance indicators. The performance indicator 3, which is the number of monitoring and evaluation reports on tourism projects and initiatives that are that we need to develop, as well as number of information systems and frameworks that we need to develop and maintain. We also contribute under strategic objective 11, which is to enhance regional tourism integration. Our aim is to implement programs that are aimed at strengthening regional cooperation for sustainable tourism growth and development within SADC and across the African continent. Two performance indicators there is indicator number 5 and 6, which are a number of initiatives facilitated in the multilateral fora, as well as number of initiatives that we need to facilitate for regional integration. I'll be taking you through our 2017-18 annual targets. Under performance indicator 1, we have set ourselves three platforms that we need to create as our target. The first one is our annual National Tourism Stakeholder Forum that we are hosting. We are continuing with this work, engaging the different stakeholders in key programs and policy discussions that we need to do as the Department of Tourism. The second one is the annual public lecture that we are hosting as part of the activities of the Tourism Month. Therefore, the planned one is in September this year, which normally is hosted by the Minister. Then the third one is our National Tourism Research Seminar that we are hosting with for the work that we are conducting in collaboration with universities. These are research reports that have been finalized through a peer review process by the expert forum members, and therefore we create a platform to engage with stakeholders on key research outcomes and recommendations from those research studies. Under indicator number 2, which is number of policy bulletins that we need to develop, we are aiming to do two policy initiatives in the space. basically to produce two tourism policy bulletins that we need to publish, which is the first one for proactively tracking any policy development that we need to be doing as a department in travel and tourism and other related sectors. Then the second policy initiative is to look at policy in relation to negative unintended implications of development in the sharing economy. This is work then that will eventually lead to the development of a policy position on the implications of sharing economy in the accommodation sector. Under performance indicator number 3, which is number of monitoring and evaluation reports on tourism projects and initiatives developed, we have set ourselves 4 reports that we need to develop. The first one is our 2016 State of Tourism Report. Our State of Tourism Report has evolved over the years. Now it's becoming a more comprehensive and themed report, looking at particular subsectors in a particular year. The current one is looking closer and at accommodation and meetings industry, and we'll be publishing that in quarter one. Then we continue to develop the framework so that we can then develop the 2016 State of Tourism Report going forward. Then we have 2 evaluation reports that we need to do. First is the evaluation report on food safety program. This is a program that we are running as a department as part of our human capacity development initiative. This is to evaluate if our objectives of this program were met. And then the evaluation report on tourism incentive program. This is mainly to look at the market access initiatives that we have, incentive that we have put together as a department to establish if it was if we received a good return on investment in this incentive, as well as check if then the objectives of those programs were met. Under performance indicator number 3, we have number of monitoring evaluation reports still on tourism projects and initiatives that we have developed. We are continuing with the work that we have been implementing as a department in terms of monitoring and reporting on the implementation of the NTSS. This is then work that will smoothly get into the revised NTSS once it gets approved and implemented. So, but we are still continuing with the current NTSS until the revised NTSS is in place. And then under government indicator number 4, number of information systems and frameworks developed and maintained, we are continuing with the work towards the development of the National Tourism Information and Monitoring System. We have done a lot of stakeholder consultations for the NTIMS. Now we're looking at the actual drafting of the concept on the design, as well as develop a comprehensive implementation plan for the development of the actual system. This is work that we're going to be doing closely in consultation with the industry. Still under indicator number 4, in relation to the NTIMS, we are targeting to train youth as data capturers for the collection of the NTIMS data, which is then a partnership that we need to get into with the municipalities, because this is work that we're going to be doing with them. Then we are maintaining our 2 mobile applications that we developed for tourist guides and visitor information centers, and also going further to make sure that whatever we do in the space of mobile application is informed by good plans and strategies. We are also going to be under indicator number 5, number of initiatives facilitated in multilateral fora. We are earmarking 2 initiatives, which is the first one, the draft plan for hosting of a tourism work stream during the 2018-19 BRICS summit that we need to develop. This then will then need a thorough internal and external stakeholder consultations before the draft plan is developed. Under indicator number 5, we need to develop a final plan for the hosting of a tourism work stream during South Africa's chairship of IORA. This is work then that the plan that will be earmarking the work that we need to do over 2 years from October 2017 to October 2019. Then there will also be sharing of best practices that are targeted at African countries in this space, and also the final plan for hosting of the tourism workstream during our chairship needs to be developed, looking at particular programs that we are prioritizing in under the IORA program. Under performance indicator number 6, these are number of initiatives facilitated for regional integration. Here we want to do two initiatives. One is the ministerial session at the 2017 tourism in Durban that we need to host on the 15th of May. The focus for the session is on the role of technology in the changing face of travel in Africa. We have sent out the invitations to ministers in the African continent. Therefore, we are moving forward with the planning for this session. Then we're also planning to be hosting a session on best practices that is targeted at African countries with whom we have signed tourism agreements. These are SADC and other African countries that we want to engage with, share our best practices. This could be on policies and programs of the department, and also share from other African countries on how they are doing similar programs, or even how do they develop their own policies to respond to the strategic targets and objectives of their countries. Thank you, Chair.
I will take you through destination development, which is program 2. The best way to understand the work of this program is really to understand the life cycle of tourism product development. So everything starts with an idea. The idea then has to be tested through pre-feasibility and feasibility studies. If it is a good idea that is successful through that phase, it goes through investment, it gets constructed, it gets operated, and then maintained. And through that whole process, sustainability is a key element. So the work of destination development is really the development of places all the way from concept through actual investment, through actual implementation of the project, and then managing successful operations. And that's what the work of this team actually talks to. Within our APP, we actually have 8 targets that we deal with. And if we look at slide 40, the objectives that we actually respond to is diversification and enhancement of tourism offerings, and then through our public expanded public works program, actually implementing projects that create employment opportunities. The first set of targets on page 41 talk to 3 projects that actually began in the last financial year. As infrastructure projects, you will understand that they are multi-year development projects. Shangoni Gate and the Palabo Wildlife Activity Hub are outside the Kruger National Park, and they actually respond to the imperative around rural development, because these will create actual centers of tourism development in areas that actually currently have no tourism economic activity. The third project is the National Heritage Monument Park Interpretation Center in Tswane, and that project is actually at this point at a very advanced stage of implementation. Our next set of indicators on page 43 talk to destination enhancement again, but specifically signage at our national heritage sites and sites that are of basically national significance. This is also a continuation of a program that we began in the previous financial year. Slide 44 talks to our work in the oceans economy. As the DG has outlined, the cabinet submission, once it's approved, we will be able to share more details of this program. We haven't, of course, for that reason, put many of the projects, and there are many of them, into this.
There are only two that we have actually put into our APP, and that's the continuation of the Blue Flag program, which is expanded now to 50 additional beaches. And then the second one is really the development of the Indian Atlantic route, which is really the route development along the entire coastline. Slide 45 talks to our work in destination planning, and there are two targets. The first one related to the development of a destination planning manual. This is really benchmarking the trends, best practices for developing destinations in order to support the work being done at local government and provincial level, and to support the development of new destinations, as well as enhancing the connectivity between current destinations that exist. The second one relates to township tourism in particular, and the focus this year is looking at Vilakazi Street, but it's really not just about Vilakazi Street. It is about linking Vilakazi Street to the other clusters of development that exist within Soweto itself, to other township experiences that exist within the province, and then broadly to the established tourism base that exists within Gauteng. The reason that we're starting with Vilakazi Street in terms of township tourism development is that it is the most established in the country. There are many lessons that we can learn from it, and the intention of this particular precinct development methodology is to be able to use it across the country to expand township tourism in all of the areas of our country. There are many provinces that have already got township tourism as an area of focus. The last set of indicators then on slide 46 and 47 speak to our current, what we're calling working for tourism, but it's really the transition of what the former SRI into working for tourism. So in this year, we're focusing on completion of some of the projects that had already begun, and these are also in the space of both infrastructure development and community-based tourism development, as well as in the space of training. And DDG Rampele will speak to the issues related to training in her program. And then the very last target, of course, relates to the full-time equivalents for the expanded public works program.
Good morning, Honourable Member, Minister, MPG, and DM. I'm going to present on tourism sector support services. The purpose of the program is to enhance transformation of the sector and tourism services through people development, enterprise support, and service excellence in order to ensure South Africa is a competitive destination. The strategic outcome-oriented goal is to increase the tourism sector's contribution to inclusive economic growth. I'm going to briefly indicate the strategic objectives and their objective statements. The first one, which is under strategic objective 5, is to accelerate the transformation of the tourism sector. The aim being to implement programs aimed at the empowerment of marginalized enterprises and individuals to promote inclusive growth of the sector. The other one is Strategic Objective 6, which is to facilitate the development and growth of tourism enterprises to contribute to inclusive economic growth and job creation. Here we'll be creating an enabling environment for tourism enterprises to grow and contribute to job creation and the competitiveness of the destination through the provision of business support services and tools. The other strategic objective is number 7, which is to facilitate tourism capacity building programs. Here we'll be implementing prioritized programs that present opportunities for training and development for the growth of the sector. In terms of our annual targets for 2017-18, the first TPI is number of initiatives supported to promote triple BEE implementation. Here we have 4 initiatives that we are going to work on, which will be monitoring and coming up with a report on the implementation of the amended tourism triple BEE sector code. The second one will have to come up with a platform, which the tourism in Durban, which will be held during the course of the year, wherein we will bring both the public and the private sector to discuss what is it that we really need to do in order for us to achieve transformation within the country. The third initiative will be coming up with guidelines for commercialization of state-owned attractions so that the government-owned establishments are in such a way that they will be able to bring value onto the table in terms of money, in terms of ensuring that communities around those establishments are able to benefit and participate meaningfully. The fourth one will be establishing funding mechanisms through partnerships with development finance institutions. The DG and the Minister have already alluded to this one, in order to ensure that we reduce the gap in terms of funding for SMMEs or enterprises that might request loans from other development finance, so that they're able also to move, and at the same time they are able to participate within the economy. The second PPI is number of social tourism initiatives undertaken. We are going to come up with two social tourism initiatives, one being the framework that will guide us how to support tour operators in order to facilitate social tourism. Basically here, making sure that new entrants are capacitated to work into the space. The second one will be develop one social tourism scheme. Here we need to have partnerships with our counter departments as well as the private sector, so that we're able to make sure that people who have been marginalized access and travel their country. The first PPI is on implementation of the Enterprise Development Program. We are currently and will continue to support enterprises. For the 17-18, it's 400 enterprises that will support countrywide in terms of training, in terms of business support, in terms of mentoring and coaching. The other, we are going to review and refine the long-term framework that we have on enterprise development so that it responds to the current policy pronouncement. And the other project will be the incubators. Currently we have two incubators, one in Pilansberg, the other one in Manyeleti in Mpumalanga. We'll be coming up with another incubator this current financial year. But in the meantime, we're also assessing other sites so that we are able to rapidly and speed up on this one. PPI number five is number of incentivized programs implemented. This is our tourism incentive program, where we have four programs, one being the market access, the tourism grading, the energy efficiency, as well as universal accessibility. We'll also be bringing in a new one where we are saying it's green tourism, so that we're able to support private sector to really retrofit their establishment for energy efficiency. PPI 6, which is number of capacity building programs to be implemented. We are having 10 capacity building programs, starting first with the chef's one. We've been having 577 trainees in the past year. We'll be continuing with the same number, as well as 300 youth to be enrolled in the sommelier training course. We'll also be having 2,000 trainees in the youth and in hospitality service training. And the food safety, 500 learners will be enrolled. We have finalized the strategy in terms of the tourism sector human resource development. We will be implementing that. One of the issues that we need to do is to ensure that we come up with a coordinating body that will be able to make sure that we plan, we implement, and monitor the programs that we'll be implementing as part of the strategy that we have developed. PPI 6 is number of capacity building programs. We're continuing with that one. The local government tourism induction program that we have started 3 years ago will be continuing with it in terms of supporting municipalities within the rural nodes. The National Tourism Career Expo we will be doing the last year for Free State in Bloemfontein this year. The program on executive development for black women, we are continuing with that one. We had 20 last year, and we'll be continuing the same number. But the ultimate aim is to ensure that the private sector really comes on board and continue with this program. Still on PPI number 6, the other area is to train or to skill tourist guides. Already we have started with this last year within the 8 World Heritage Sites, starting with 2. We'll be continuing with 2 again, which is Mapungubwe and Ukahlamba, but at the same time ensuring that we get new entrants into the adventure space in terms of guiding. The last one in terms of training is training of 60 youth on resource efficiency using one of our government entities, the National Senior Production Center of South Africa, in terms of the methodology to allow these young people to be able to assess or audit the entities in terms of for them to be able to retrofit for energy efficiency. On TPI 7, we have a number of priority areas to support the implementation of responsible tourism. Here we'll be focusing on 5 communities in terms of community tourism enterprises so that they are able to capitalize on the tourism value chain within their spaces. The 5 communities is Emazizini in Bergville, KZN, Kula Village next to Isimangaliso, Batoka Community in Wessesbrug, Villa Gazette, already Didi Shamil has indicated, Rampamba Village in the Bilansberg. In terms of PPI 8, number of initiatives for improving visitor services, we will be auditing the tourist guide registers within provinces so that we have an alignment and we standardize the registers. We'll be at the same time upgrading the security features on the tourist guide identification badges, so that we're able to deal with some of the illegal guiding that might happen within our space. Currently, we have 2 national tourism information gateways, that is Kinshasa as well as OR. We'll continue to maintain and enhance those spaces, and then we will be coming up with one, which is in Cape Town. The last target is the tourist complaints that we'll be dealing with, and our target is to ensure that the tourist complaints which we all receive, we need to make sure that we deal with them, either in terms of making sure that we resolve them or we refer them to relevant authorities in terms of making sure that they are properly resolved. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, members, Minister, Deputy Minister. I'm going to take you through the budget. It's on slide 65. You will see that we've got the 4 financial years listed there, the 16-17 year, which is past year, and then obviously the year that we're going to focus on is the 17-18 year, which speaks to our APP. Our budget for next year is 2.1 billion rand that we've got. Our administration program receives 219 million. Policy and planning, 1.2 billion, which includes our transfer payment to SA Tourism. Destination development, 443 million rand, which includes our Working for Tourism program. And then our enterprise and visitor support, which is 268 million. And that includes our tourism incentive program. On the next slide, slide 66, that gives us a breakdown of the economic classification of our budget. There you can see that 271.8 million has been earmarked for compensation of employees, that is 12.7% of our budget. And then our biggest component is the transfer payments, 1.3 billion rand, 65%. And then our total is 2.1 billion. If we go to the detail on slide 67, this is now program one. That is the breakdown of program one. You will see that our biggest part of our budget is on corporate services, 126.6 million. And our total is 290 million for program one. On the next slide, you will see the breakdown for program one in economic classification. What is interesting here is, if you look at your compensation of employees, it's 120 million, and our goods and services is 96.7 million. Normally, your compensation of employees and goods and services should be a ratio of 1 to 2. And as you can see that in our department, it's much lower. We're not even a 1-to-1 ratio. The next slide, slide 69, is program 2. In this one, just to highlight, is our transfer payment to SA Tourism. 1.1 billion, which is 93.8% of the specific program. And then also you will see, as the DG has indicated, international relations and cooperation, 27.5 million. This is our international component in the department. And this also includes our transfer payments to RETOSA and the UNWTO. On slide 70 is just the economic classification. As we said, the biggest payment is our transfer payments. It's 1.1 billion, 94.7% of the total of 1.2 billion rand. Destination development. There you can see that the working for tourism is the biggest component there. 76.4% of the total of 443 million rand. On slide 72, it's again that's economic classification. Once again, you can see that the largest component over here is basically on our transfer payments and also our capital assets, which is 108 million. And on program 4, on slide 73, our biggest budget there is our tourism incentive program, 171.8 million, 64% of the total budget of 268.4 million. On slide 74 is just a breakdown of economic classification. And there you can see again that under goods and services and transfers and subsidies is the biggest 42.3% and 34.6% of this total budget of 268.4 million rand. Thank you, Chair.
Is that it? This was quite a marathon, but it was a good relay. I have the opening to honorable members to ask questions, but SAT is getting so much from the department. Are you doing adequate oversight over SAT so that they are accountable for the such budget that you see being transferred to them? In the document, you also speak about insourcing. Can you give us the details of the level and the cost of compensation of insourcing? And I say that you've upped the position to chief directorate also as well, which I'm sure takes a lot of the budget. Delays in delivering some of the work that should be done due to external partners. I'm sure you are working very hard on IGR,
so that we don't experience those delays in the future. The provinces, can you just tell us about the steps in the provinces and what is going to happen? TIB? Talk about it. With regard to radical economic transformation, and at least give us some light on that one. I see that the department has got a new look. A new look in the sense that it is transformed, and what we used to call domestic tourism, international tourism, have got new names. With this new look, is the budget going to be sufficient to deal with those, in spite of the fact that there has been no study that will assist the committee to actually lobby for budget increase for the department, because there is no benchmark service which can tell us that in view of this happening, we feel that the department should get it. Because if we talk now, we're talking on deaf ears, and we've got nothing in our head to say the research or the study that has been done shows this. So that's why we're asking for more budget for the department in order for it to execute the work that it should do. Finally, I think your strategic plan and APP is much better compared to what it has been from the time of the start of the fifth parliament. And we also see that you are doing a continuous check on your objectives, so that by the end of the term, you will have done better. You've also spoken about the transformation in Daba. We are concerned about the bill that will be coming in the fourth quarter. If the committee will be able to deal with it, because it comes in the fourth quarter, we all know October is the MTBPS, is the annual report, is the BRRR, and there is no time to deal with the bill at all, at all, at all. So if you could just respond to that as you respond to questions, but open to the members. Honorable Adam. Okay. Let's have Honorable Adams, Honorable Makubela, Honorable Ford, Honorable Chad, in that order. I'm starting with Honorable Adams in case she has to rush for the flight.
No, not this time, Chairperson. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for the presenters, and I want to convey my personal congratulations to our new minister and deputy minister. I know they love this section of their deployment, namely tourism, and I believe we will take this section to the next level under their leadership. Jefferson, I have a few questions. The first one is on slide 4 with regard to the mission. Now, one of the markers there say group cooperative and cooperative governance. Now, there are two words that are very heavily weighed, especially the cooperative one. With reference to the AG's report, Chapter 3, the AG noted that we must look at the role of local government and municipalities. And as you know, Chairperson, tourism happens at ground level and at municipality level. Now, for the 3.5 years that we are here, I think almost in every meeting we talk about collaboration with municipalities. I would really like that DG comes out more with regard to how we can check them by the hand. We visited a few sites during our oversight and we see what's happening on the ground. Now I know there must be better cooperation between provincial, local and national government. But I'd really like to see this time that there's some focus plan on how it is going to get better. In Jefferson, the other one is on slide 30. I think it's program two. I'd like the DG to, the DDG to explain more about the number of platforms that they will facilitate to greater awareness of the program. And with regard to the development within SADC and across the African continent, are there certain targets? Do they target certain countries in Africa? Is there a study which targets or which countries they should target? And I knew that is a very, very untapped market that we could step into. Then on program four, on program three again, there will be a new incubator established. Where will it be? How was the selection done? Then on slide 55, the presenter said they have four incentive programs supported for program developed implementation. She named market access, that's a very good one. Tourism grading. Do they want to establish a new body? Because grading is a problem at this moment. When we visited KZN, some of the public that we engaged with said that grading is per year, and after a year, the people goes on with their plaques that they have on their establishment. There isn't a reversal of that. Then she mentioned green tourism, and that they want to help private enterprises with implementing green tourism. How will we go about to select these private enterprises to do green tourism with a retrofit fitting? The question why I'm asking this is, shouldn't we target more towards the previously disadvantaged people to give them up in this market? Then the very last one, Chairperson, is directed to the CFO. Speak to me about capital assets. You see, if I look, for example, at slide 74 on your economic classification with regard to capital assets, it's taking a dive, and all of them. Shouldn't that be stable? And then I saw somewhere, Jefferson, the target is to keep 3% of disability rate. But isn't the law 4%? And shouldn't they try to up that to 4%? Thank you, Jefferson.
Welcome the realignment of the programs as presented in the APP, and hope that they they will work towards the efficiency and implementation of the vision and the mission of the department as outlined. My first question goes to the issue of the oceans economy. You know, up until now, I think we are in the second year of Operation Pakisa. And Operation Pakisa, in a way, its mission was to do things quicker and faster towards gaining access to the space that has been created. But up until now, all I hear from the department, or what I've been hearing for the last 2 years, was around blue flag beaches and something else now, which I've just even forgot, that they're working towards ocean economy is around. And I'm sitting here, I hear every time a very good presentation is made to say we have this stretch of coastal land from KZN up until wherever. You know, I'm from a rural province that doesn't have any sea close to it. But I'm sitting here asking myself, how will this be accomplished? Because all the time I hear is the blue flag beaches and something, a new term which has been coined recently in this ATP around the ocean's economy. Perhaps maybe proper unpacking and giving confidence to the operations Pakistan. Towards Operation Pakisa is, in a way, radical economic transformation. It was trying to do things not the way we've done things previously. Actually went to a point of letting loose some of the screws to say to do things faster. We need to loosen some of the screws around here, around these maybe policies and around these strict, what you call, measures. But up until now, it's only blue flag beaches. And then the second one is around the program, the fourth program, which was domestic tourism, but now it has a new name, which I'm still trying to process. Hopefully, by the time you come for the second time, the third time, you would have sunk in my Madula Oblongata. But, you know, being an optimist, I don't want to be pessimistic, but being an optimist around the project and the incubators which you've just presented, which are in the ACP, what goes straight to my mind is the programs or the projects which we've seen so far in our oversight, particularly the one in Manyelik, which you've mentioned. And when I'm sitting here, I'm thinking that program can never be viable, whatever, even if we wait for the Son of Man to come on earth. First and foremost, it's not appealing to travel from the village to where the project is. Secondly, what we've seen there, even if it can be revitalized, you know, in a way, I don't see people paying, actually getting the value for money to pay to get into that sort of game reserve and go and do tourism and tourist activities. Well, I'm also just even thinking, how will those that are entrusted or the those that are the board members or the company that is formed, because it was also formed around what's this thing in small businesses, you know, this co-ops, you know, there's a confusion, there's a co-op, there's trustees, you know, there's so many confusion. As much as we are trying to revitalize or you are putting that into an incubator project, well,
as I said, I don't want to be pessimistic, but I'm thinking, how will this thing be revitalized? Will there be any value for the money that we are putting into those kind of projects? Will those that are driving get anything? Because I don't see it being viable in any way. But nonetheless, I hear this word incubator, you know, and putting it into an incubator is trying to revitalize, trying to make it viable, you know, trying to assist it in a way. But I'm just thinking, you know, it's just like taking our resources and throwing them somewhere. Because what we've seen there, first and foremost, the community is 30 to 40 kilometers from the place. Secondly, it's a tribal land where cattle are also doing their ways into that manuality thing. Thirdly, there are people who have hijacked the project. There's a white man sitting there who comes and does his washing. You know, it's something that's a nightmare. And following that, the second and third project which we went to. But again, I would just want you to unpack this incubator term and just give me a sense of hope. It was right now, I'm in the tunnel. I don't see the light coming out of the tunnel. Thank you.
So sorry, just to add on to that question, DG in particular, where is the GTEC process around infrastructure? Because the project she's talking about is really, looks a total failure, but GTEC, how far is it with various infrastructure projects that the department has been dealing with? Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. I would like to touch on the sector codes to start off with. Now, yes, it is important that we consider various ways to transform the industry. We mentioned previously that the Grading Council could be one of those important tools to achieve transformation by ensuring that more establishments get the opportunity to be graded and to ensure that their businesses become more sustainable from a financial point of view, but also to ensure that the quality within that establishment remains something that that would be of benefit both to the establishment but also to the tourism industry, etc. So that would be one of the, in my view, a perfect opportunity to see how to transform that part of the industry, because there is definitely a big gap there. It cannot only be about the big hotels and the boutiques and the guest houses. We need to see how we can get many more places of establishment into that space. But the sector codes, as it stands at the moment, are much more strict than the generic codes of good practice. And this makes it much harder for the industry to comply with, and there's no doubt that there will be negative consequences. That also makes it very confusing for businesses when the sector codes are different from the generic codes. So therefore, in our view, it would be much better if all codes were the same so that businesses know where they stood. So if you want to talk about broad-based black economic empowerment, it makes sense to have generic codes in place, and those are the targets, and that's how we will ultimately get there, not to have different codes for different industries. It's just confusing for business. And if you really unpack the sector codes, and if you look at what the different criteria entails, it's really going to make it much harder for small businesses to actually achieve those type of goals. Rather look at other ways of transforming the industry by applying best practice and other methods. And I'm sure that there are many other types of projects and programs that we could embark upon to actually ensure that you get much more people involved and to create that sustainable business practice on the long term. Then, Madam Chair, something that for me was also missing, or perhaps it's the responsibility of South African Tourism, but it's still, they get the mandate from
the National Department of Tourism in terms of their key performance indicators and their objectives. But international tourism, which is an important part of our work that we do in creating brand awareness for South Africa and also making sure that we market our country as a destination of choice for travel and trade, that's an important part of the work that we do. But if you consider the 2015-2016 financial year, a total of 422 million rand was used to fund SA tourism offices abroad. Now, we believe that some of these offices, in the way that they are run, perhaps are not really delivering the results that we've set out for ourselves. And if you consider also the high number of foreign missions and embassies, in our view, this is duplicating many of the tourism promotion and destination marketing costs. We have to create a way to get the Department of Tourism to work much closer with the Department of International Relations to see how we can actually use our embassies and foreign missions much more strategic in tourism promotion and destination marketing than simply opening up more of these country offices in countries where we're not getting the results that we've set out for ourselves. And I've got a list here of the countries which we've allocated these funds towards. We have to be much more strategic in where we open these offices. In some cases, let's rather have one office covering a much bigger area than simply an office in every single country, because that takes a lot of our funding away for work that we can do domestically to grow our domestic market. So we'd like to hear from the department what, in terms of their forward thinking, with their plans entailed in terms of these country offices, etc. Then conferencing, exhibitions, meetings, etc. That's a very, very important part of the work that we do in terms of positioning our country for travel and trade. In 2015, South Africa hosted 140 international association meetings and conferences, and that brought 1 billion rand of revenue to South Africa. Already there's, in the Western Cape, we've got already many more events planned that's going to also contribute to the Western Cape economy in the next financial year. So business, conferencing, events, exhibitions, I would like to hear from the department exactly what are their plans in terms of using that as a strategic approach to attract more visitors to our country, because if you consider also the methodology behind not only getting bums on seats in conferences, but prolonging their stay and making sure that there are post and pre-tours planned so that we get many of these delegates visiting the small businesses and other attractions in and around the conference venues. There's a huge money spinner, and we have to see how we can leverage that. Something that was also missing for me from the talk was, whilst we spoke about accessibility, but air access. Now, we know that in Cape Town and in Durban, they've got dedicated air access strategies that have been implemented, but I think the department also needs to be much more involved within the air access strategy from a national perspective in terms of our positioning on the African continent. We're a long-haul destination. So as a country and as a department, we need to do much more to deal with the air accessibility part of promoting our country as a destination of choice. Just to give an example, in Cape Town alone, since July last year, we've added 500,000 two-way seats from July last year up to now. That was 3 billion rand additional revenue created for the city as a result of those more flights or the direct impact that it created. Forward bookings from Angola are up by 500% as a result of the air access strategy. China is showing a 29% increase, Ethiopia 17% increase. So these are the increases that you'll get if you have an air access strategy in place for your city. But I think from a national perspective, there needs to be a similar strategy in terms of how we go about positioning South Africa as a country that's accessible in terms of air access. Because if you look at our airport infrastructure, it's great. South Africa always receives a lot of accolades and awards in terms of the management of our airports, the infrastructure and that we provide, and I really believe that this department should be the champion to provide much more in that space. Tourism incentive program, I think, Madam Chair, you also raised it already, but I really believe that that's an opportunity to assist emerging businesses, tourism businesses, because let's face it, all businesses have a tourism angle. So I think there needs to be much more emphasis on the way that we work with tourism incentive. I see already that 90 million rand has been reallocated from the tourism incentive program to the South Africa National Convention Bureau. You know, that money was initially meant to fund tourism emerging businesses. So if we start verimenting money that was supposed to be used for growing small businesses within the tourism space, then that's of great concern to me. And I would like to hear from the department why and how are we going to fix that. SRI, much has been said about SRI already, but Madam Chair, we've seen many failed projects in the past. Besides Vitsi's Hoek, which we've recently visited in the Free State as part of our parliamentary oversight, which is a working model. But the department, really, there's an opportunity that we mustn't let go of. There's great value if we do our planning properly, and the Director General mentioned that before we go into any SRI project in the future, we'll do our regulatory impact assessments to see if it's going to be viable. But here's the thing. The municipalities in many of those locations don't have the capacity to actually be the project implementer or the project initiator or to be involved in the project altogether. Some of the municipalities simply don't have the capacity, and that's also a big part of the problem here. But this is where the department needs to step up and actually take full responsibility for our projects. This is our money. These funds are good funds to be utilized to grow domestic markets in those parts of the country, to deal with limited geographic spread and the affordability dilemma that we faced with. So it's not, we shouldn't be throwing good money off the bat. SRI is a good project if it is managed well, if you've got the right partners in place. And so I need to find out from the department what is the thinking behind SRI. You just mentioned it briefly, but I really believe that there needs to be a much more in-depth discussion going forward. Township tourism has already been mentioned, and I fully agree that that's one of the markets that we need to grow, and that's where TIP should be utilized. So this 90 million rand that's simply going to go to another entity, let's use that money to grow township tourism, and then let's actually call it cultural and heritage tourism going forward, because that is what makes South Africa unique. We're a melting pot of culture, cuisine, color. Let's actually get that funds to grow that part of the market and get people to experience each other's cultures. And coastline, it's been mentioned by previous speakers already, but I've been raising this point for a long time. Dedicated cruise terminals is an important part of our tourism landscape. The V&A waterfront is now already completed phase one. PE, or Nelson Mandela Bay Municipality, and Durban Municipality, just again consider our location on the African continent. We should be the destination of choice for cruise terminal, for cruise tourism. We've seen globally cruise tourism triple in figures where they've invested in that type of infrastructure. And I think the department there again should champion this together with Air Access. Let's champion with our colleagues in the other departments the construction of dedicated cruise terminal infrastructure so that we can get more cruise tourism. Now just consider the value chain spin-off, all the small businesses benefiting when passengers disembark, but also all the other service providers that needs to deal with the ship maintenance, all the produce, etc. It's great benefit in investing in that type of infrastructure. So we'd like to find out from the department what are their plans with regards to that part of it, because Blue Flags is a municipal function. I come from a municipality. That's what we did. I don't want to hear the NDP talk about Blue Flags. I want to hear them talk about investing in infrastructure that drives demand and that makes business sense. Tourism infrastructure. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Let me first welcome both the Minister and the Deputy Minister and wish them well in their new responsibilities. Chairperson, I would first start with acknowledging the fact that during their last year's presentation, we queried the fancy type of their annual performance plan, that they came with last year. It means they listen when they when you ask some questions. Now they are coming with something very simple, which I think it has been done in-house. I congratulate that. Chair, coming to the presentation, I welcome the opening remarks by the minister. Coming to the presentation of the DG, let me start by appreciating the restructuring of the department. We were not married to the names that were used before. What we would like seeing is the department following a strategic direction. If it's going to address whatever that is highlighted in the 9-point plan, we will appreciate more so the 4 outcomes that were focused to as the tourism sector. Chair, I've noticed that in the department there is no one who's left-handed. But now I see that the minister is left-handed. A left-handed person would expect that you start with your annual target, then you have your quarterly target, then at the tail end you have your performance indicator. That's a left-handed person. Now when I was writing the document, I was shifted because I'm left-handed. If I go to page 24 of the presentation, it's where you make mention of the 50%. And I appreciate that we are going to maintain the 50% representation in your senior management. But if that is giving me a challenge to make a recommendation in my upcoming policy conference, where whatever that would lead you to have to do an extraordinary thing of having more women, even more than 50%, I would appreciate that. And then on page, I was looking at program 3, under program 3, where the name of domestic tourism has just disappeared. Even in your objectives and whatever that you meant, the word has just disappeared. Whatever you do, at least you would say to address this and this and this, that the word of domestic tourism has just disappeared. Maybe I would be pleased if I can just get where is it located now, even if it's not singled out as a program, but where is it located now? The chairperson has mentioned the issue of your monitoring of SAT. Even if you give us the explanation, I would love it when you have something written down or how you follow up on SAT so that we are able to hold you accountable on what is written down on paper. On page 46, I'm not sure about the program now. It's where you talk about recruiting a number of unemployed people to the program. My question would be, is your recruitment strategy transparent enough for an unemployed child in a rural area to see to it that you have these jobs, or you trying to recruit these type of people? Can I be confident when I'm in a platform to say there is the department, it has so many vacancies, it is doing this and this and that? Is your strategy transparent enough? And also on the issue of funding your community enterprise tourism, whatever, I would just say you must draw lessons from the experiences that you have. Just draw those lessons. I've seen that there's much amounts, huge amounts that are set aside previously on consultants and business advisory services. Can those funds be utilized such that they address the whatever that is mentioned, the triple challenge, what is said in the 9-point plan? Can they be so that we see the impact of your program? I think, Chair, I have also I appreciate the fact that we have identified it as a risk. When you identify something, it means you have a plan to address it. That's what I understand. That you are not meeting your transformation target. That means a lot to us. Because we have graduated from looking at what you are planning to do, we look at the angle of an impact that we'd like to see. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the question, but maybe the minister, around the air strategy, where is the process of open sky policy and the Masoko declaration? How far has the country went on that one? Secondly, we do appreciate that the department has listened to the recommendations that have been made by the committee. CFO, can you give us more explanation on the ratio between compensation of employees and goods and services? Minister and your team, can you respond to the question?
Thank you very much. Let me first allow DG and DDGs to take up the question and come later.
Thank you, Minister. We'll try to share the questions, the technical questions. So questions pertaining to program visitor services, including some of the work around the local government approach that we are taking in terms of engagement and participation and so on and so forth. As we will deal with that. The questions that pertain to the destination development, I just want to say before Shamila comes in that our component of the ocean's economy did not start at the same time as the overall ocean's economy. It was a further directive that was issued to us to say, please do come on board. So hence this process that we've gone through. And then we've got to go through all these municipalities along the coast to try and find out some of the existing plans and so on and so forth. But we'll talk to the issues around destination development. And Ralph will talk to the money. I just want to say also before Ralph comes in that the 90 million that Honorable Foss spoke about, Honorable Chairperson, is not department money that has been taken from DIB to FET, to the Conventions Bureau. Our motivation, and we are one of very few departments that actually got additional money. Our motivation was, we are going to be driving three areas. One, we need some money to be able to start stimulating new markets, but part of that money also to top up to the markets that were there, but focusing on different segments of that particular market. So it will be in the US, we would be looking at the African American market that we had not sufficiently tapped from that particular market. So there was that aspect. So the money that we received, the 449 or so, Ralph, 449 over the medium term, the additional money from Treasury. So that money, we have a component. We actually motivated also for business events. And we were saying that business events, the rate of return is much higher than an ordinary tourist. But also, not just for that spend, the repeat visits and so on are also considerably higher than the other category. So people come here, they see these places, and subsequently they would come back here with their families and so on. So we then took that money to say the money that we have got must go to all the areas that we motivated for. The last area that we had motivated for was the destination development area. So when you look at it, it has been spread across in that particular manner, but not it's not TIB money. It's fresh money that is actually coming from Treasury. But Ralph will deal with the other questions pertaining to money, and then I will deal with a few other questions and then give to
I'm going to start with the issue of how I'm going to support local government going forward. It's an area that we have been, I would say, lean on it. The only area that we could really say we're doing something is around the capacity building programs to ensure that the tourism authorities within the spaces of municipalities are established. But now, with the restructuring, we have a directory that's going to look into supporting having that interface through the IDR, provinces as well as municipalities. The aim being that we become very close with municipalities from the time when they start to do their planning processes in terms of the IDP, so that we're able to understand what are the things that are going to put on the table, but at the same time making them aware what type of programs will be coming into their space. And at the same time, participating in they have what we call premier intergovernmental fora in provinces. They have municipal managers fora, the spaces which were not able to participate fully before. But with this, the directory that I'm referring to, we'll start to look into that. But those municipalities where there is potential for tourism, because all in all we have 265, we cannot really deal with all of them, but where there's potential, we really try our best to support them and handhold as the Honorable Member has indicated. On the incubator model, Honorable, I was a little bit confused because our model is virtual, so it was like we were saying that the space where these people are going to be assisted. With our model, we are going to assist 50 SMMEs across the value chain. As I said, it's virtual. We support them within the spaces that they will be. And it will be across, as I said, through the value chain. Minority is minority in terms of an area, but it's a certain region that we'll be looking into. For example, with Bilansberg, it's Mugulen, but we know that the surrounding area. And the main thing is that we cluster and we have a hub where we know that potential. For Mugulen, we know the hub would be, we have Sun City. So they will be able to also to give or supply whatever services they will be having into Sun City or into Kruger Park. We did make a presentation, and I realized that the Honorable Member wasn't there last day when he came in to indicate how is our model in terms of the incubator going to function. We'll see how can we also interface again. And on the, when is the next one? Where is the next one incubator going to be held? We are assessing Bapalaboga right now, looking into the fact that we have some of the problems that we are currently doing, so that we are able to, can I say, really come to a point with quite a lot of things that we can support that we're able to achieve more. In terms of the green tourism, we have partnered with IDC. They will be managing the program. Basically, it's to ensure that the energy efficiency in the tourism space happens, and now the focus will be on SMEs, emerging black SMEs, disadvantaged sectors. The draft criteria is already in place, and we really make sure that we don't, the criteria doesn't become a barrier for people not to be able to participate. We really make sure that the criteria responds to make sure that new entrants are able to really come in. In terms of another thing about domestic, actually there's a directorate now that would look fully and, what's the word, committedly to the domestic tourism, to ensure that domestic tourism is done. We have reviewed the domestic tourism strategy. We'll also come in and present it to the committee. The directorate is housed in the Enterprise Development Transformation. So we have it. And the social tourism related issues that I've referred to, those are going to be taken by the domestic tourism director. So we do have it within the space.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the capital assets on slide 74, it does look, if you look at the 16-17 year, the budget was 95 million, and then 17-18 it is only 1 million. The reason for this is our tourism incentive program, our energy efficiency projects, were classified as capital assets because it is assets that we erected at Robben Island, Sandbox, and at Sandby, and those panels will be transferred over to these entities once it's completed. You will see that the goods and services budget then goes up from 21.5 million to 113.4 million. So the money is just redirected back to goods and services from the capital. So it is just a classification on the standard chart of accounts. With regard to the ratio, our departmental ratio, Chairperson, for compensation of employees if and goods and services, if you look at the at slide 266, we've got compensation 12.7% and goods and services 17%. The ratio there is about 1 to 1.3. As I said, the ideal will be a ratio of 1 for compensation and 2 for goods and services. So, yes, our budget is not sufficient as it stands as such.
Okay, by my recording, honourable members, I have 3 questions that relate to destination development. The first set of questions relate to SRI, working for tourism, and the GTAC process. The second set of questions relate to the ocean's economy and the work that we are doing within that space. And then the third one is really related to airlift, but more broadly, our relationship with transport and how we facilitate integration of our sector. And then DDG Rampela has asked me to also respond to the question related to the transformation codes itself. I think on the question of the ocean's economy, as the DG has pointed out, we actually only began work in this space a while down the line, and programs like aquaculture started before us. So our program began last year, and was the lab itself was run in ended in May.
between that space and now, we have done a number of things. The first set of things has been to actually detail the projects that we will actually be implementing within the Coastal Marine Tourism Framework of Operation Pakisa. And I can give you some comfort without necessarily sharing all of the details. Tourism infrastructure is part of that program, and cruise tourism and the terminals that support it, as well as the institutions that support cruise tourism, is also part of that work. In the last year, we have done a lot of research in order to understand how we measure the economic benefit of coastal and marine tourism itself, and how we set up the governance mechanisms for coastal and marine tourism. Our partners at the Department of Environmental Affairs have also done a lot of work around how they deal with concessioning for boat-based whale watching and shark cage diving, as well as how we look at 4x4 off-road dune drives as an additional tourism experience. So I think that once the submission has been approved by Cabinet, it would probably be appropriate, DG, through you, to actually then do a thorough briefing of the entire coastal and marine tourism program for the portfolio committee. With regards to the SRI program and the work that we have done, it is correct that the work being done in SRI is very valuable, important work, particularly the work around developing new infrastructure based in communities and also the skills development work. We have, through the last number of years of implementing the program, learned many lessons, and many of those have been related to sustainability of the projects and dealing with them upfront. The GTAC process is, GTAC has now been appointed, and there are two assignments that they are working on, which I think we shared at the briefing on SRI. The first assignment is what we're calling short-term work, and that is really looking at a set of projects that have already been implemented but aren't yet necessarily financially sustainable. Those projects are currently beginning to be reviewed so that we can put in place a model to support sustainability. So the department is completely taking responsibility for ensuring sustainability on the projects. The second term assignment that they have is a longer term assignment, and that assignment is really looking at all of the lessons that we've learned and putting in place the mechanisms and the systems for us to ensure sustainability and planning upfront, as well as integration then with the infrastructure delivery management system that is being implemented. So I think with those two assignments, which are both at this point in their beginning stages, they've been run simultaneously, we will use the lessons learned to actually improve that, and most importantly, ensure sustainability of the projects that we've currently implemented and of the new ones that we are implementing. With regards to the air access issue, I think we have a very good working partnership with the Department of Transport, and the airlift strategy was written in consultation with our department. In fact, we occasionally joke about it being a tourism airlift strategy vis-a-vis an airlift strategy, because the Department of Transport took a lot of time to understand the issues around tourism and to integrate those issues into the current airlift strategy. And the area of integration with transport is a focus area that will reside within the Destination Development Branch, and it is a clear area of focus for our work in Destination Development for this financial year. With regards to the tourism codes, I think that although they were generic codes that were published, there was also recognition that each sector has very specific nuances, and the tourism sector specifically, the codes that were written for the tourism sector were widely consulted with the tourism sector stakeholders. The reason that our targets are more onerous was that in our baseline studies, which informed the development of our codes, most of the businesses in tourism had, in fact, exceeded the targets in the generic codes. So we do not believe that it is going to be necessarily difficult for tourism businesses to meet the current targets that are based in the codes based on what our baseline study said before we actually published these revised codes. And I think that the tourism sector has a specific makeup. It lends itself to SMME development. Each sector has its own very specific makeup. And the codes that are sector specific, I think, are necessary for that reason.
Thanks, Chair. I believe I have two areas that I need to respond to. The first one is with regard to our disability rate, which is currently set at 3%. The rate that we set for department is actually based on DPSS rate. There's been discussion for many years with regard to raising the rate to 4%. But I think the members will be happy to know that our department actually has exceeded this target. For example, in the last few years, we've been at 4.6%. So we're quite happy about that. And then the other one, the other question was regarding representation of women. Member indicated that it would be good to raise it beyond 50%. Again, that 50% is for women representation at SMS level. However, I'm happy to report that overall the department performed at 55% in the last year, so we're doing quite well there.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, and thank you, Minister, for speaking on Minister's time now. I would like to add to this, Honorable Chairperson, what we call Executive Management Committee, which is a committee that is convened by Minister, attended by the Deputy Minister, myself, and the DDGs. I'm the only male. So at this point, I feel if there's no more male, then you know, we so, but that is really we're extinct. but that is really the approach that we have taken, and it was conscious. It was not because all the people that we've gone out to get, we were aware that these are female candidates. So that's one. The other aspect, perhaps that I would like to just elaborate on a little bit is what Shamila was talking about with regards to the BEU codes. The commitment that was done by industry, that was made by industry in 2009, is very much close to what we've got currently. So in 2009, industry said they would like ownership to be at 30%. It was only when Minister Davis said, I'm pulling this 21% for the generic codes to 25% that this discussion then started. But originally we were already working on BEE codes for the tourism sector that were at 30%. So we went back and we said, what has changed? Because this is what we had reached at that particular time, and this is the same thing that we should still be proceeding with. So that is where this issue actually came from. But suffice to say that we see, not just in tourism, but mainly in tourism, we see BEE, broad-based black economic empowerment, as part of a business strategy. So if I own a business and I'm getting a black partner who's actually bringing in expertise, but also bringing in capital, because you are actually acquiring whatever stake with money, bringing in additional capital to that particular place, and also giving me credentials that allow me to be part of that 10 billion rand market that already exists within government, well, not just government, within the state overall. Judiciary is traveling every day, parliament is traveling every day, and also the travel that is actually undertaken by government, we are here. So all these places that we are staying, they have got to actually get to that. So we are saying it's really got to be part of the business philosophy, and bigger groups have actually embraced that. They understand it. smaller groups, not groups rather, smaller players are exempted up to 5 million rand. So there's already exemption up to 5 million rand. And they don't necessarily get affected because they would simply have to go and get an affidavit to prove that. Of course, we will try and corroborate this with records within other institutions that actually keep these things. So there is a good case for us to actually do this. But tourism, as it happens in communities, if we do not actually bring in those communities to tangibly get the benefits, we are not going to sustain. And that is really the biggest challenge that we've got to confront. What I picked up, Osmo, I think Honorable Makubela Mashel was saying, let's look a little bit more at that specific project. We will do that, but broadly, we will then share what you are saying with regards to how what is the overall approach with regards to the incubators. Coming back to the questions that Honorable Chairperson asked, we can do more with SAT oversight. We are working on strengthening the systems in terms of making sure that we are closer and closer and closer. But we do our regular interactions, telephonic conversations. Even now, before I came here, I was on a phone call with CISA because I wanted to know if there is anything that I should be aware of that perhaps I should be able to understand better should it come up. But there is more that we can do. Insourcing is largely the services, ancillary services. So this will be our cleaning services, this will be our switchboard, and so on and so forth. So those we've got in-house, and that's what makes the component, which we have reduced significantly, the component of Program 1 look the way it does. Then the number of chief directorates is the same. So what we did was people moved spaces. So the number of these programs, they did is still the same. But people are moving from one place to another, from one place to another, and that's really the change that comes in. And it requires that we actually spend a lot more effort on making sure that we strengthen the capacity of people with the reorientation of the new things that they're actually going to be dealing with. Some are ready to just run immediately. Others obviously want to get to some level of reorientation adequately and so on. In this whole process, there's nobody who lost a job. But we were able to reduce a structure that was at 648, and we have brought it down to about 503. So that's what we were working with. And in the process, not lost one job, not one person had to go home. Provinces, we do not have provincial offices. It is a costly exercise, but also the center sometimes does not hold when you have got someone who's sitting in some office somewhere at a junior level who has got to go to the project. So we are saying if you've got a person sitting in Bisho, this is the same person that must go to Grafredet. This is the same person that must go to Bizan. It's not logical. So if you've got a person coming from, three people coming from head office to deal with Eastern Cape Province one day, and they get all the reports and the reports are actually going back, you've got that immediately and you're able to actually then integrate it. So we looked at that. We went through the service delivery model and we were able to actually determine how best can we actually then deploy the resources. And so we are facing in the people that were in the province, and they will be starting in Pretoria beginning of January next year because they've got families and so on, kids to go to school and all those types of things. So we are facing it in properly. And we went through all these processes in negotiated processes with organized labor and so on. Then we have the question that was raised regarding the municipalities to an extent I think it's covered. We also, yes, the question about SADC. Honorable Adams asked which countries. We have a number of agreements currently that are active. Starting as far as DRC, we've got an agreement with them, and we do have a good market within the DRC. We've got an agreement with Zimbabweans. We've got an agreement with Seychelles. We are negotiating an agreement with Namibians. We are negotiating an agreement with the Zambians. So in the end, we actually want to make sure that we have got formalized relationships across the entire SADC. That allows us, so Minister goes there to open a space so that when the industry with SAT comes in, that environment is already well prepared. And that's going to be the approach that we will then be taking in as far as SADC is concerned. Tourism grading and what is this? What we did was we provided for a scheme that allows for a discounted rate when people are doing their grading. And what we then did was we assigned the responsibility of implementation of this to SAT through the Grading Council. And the reason was it would not make sense out of the lessons we learned in the previous year to be the ones who carry these things ourselves whilst there's a parallel process that is actually being used for the applications on the other side. So we were trying to make sure that it all takes place, but it is part of the TIP in terms of that. And it targets small businesses with the transformation in mind. There is even additional points and so on that actually people are accruing, they actually come into a particular state. The tourism bill and the concerns about the timeliness, we agree, Roger, we agree. We still need to go and sufficiently consult because what we have is the policy proposition. So the policy proposition needs to get sufficient buy-in and say, if we are saying that we are going to change this and we're going to change this, what is the view of the people on the ground who are actually going to be affected by this? Subsequently, we'll still have to go to cabinet, and most likely, given the nature of the instrument we are putting in place, we'll probably have to do 2 months, 60 days of consultation, and go back to cabinet again after we've integrated. So we were of the view that if we bring it too close, we are not going to meet our target. But if it is at that particular period, at least we are saying at that particular period, get cabinet approval, and it will be in the parliamentary domain. Then I think we have covered most of the technical questions. It was the one that I was saying that they will come in general. Yes, thank you. Now, in terms of the TIP, and how do we reshape it as we go forward? One of the things that over time we have always tried to maintain, TIP is not deeply committed. not deeply committed. Now, we are going to go through a process of where does it need to benefit more, if I could put it in that way. And as we do that, then we are in a position, as some of these projects are offloaded, if I could put it that way, they create new money, which then is able to get into. So they would build in a little bit of flexibility into the system, and we'll be able to move with speed in terms of the changes and so on. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Respond to Honorable Chabot's skills development and how it reaches somebody who does not necessarily have internet and all of those.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister. We have various training programs. On the chef's program, in terms of recruitment, we do advertise that young people can be able to come through. On the food safety, we target unemployed graduates who have gone through TVET colleges, and our recruitment will go to those various colleges to say you had students, you have a database of those who don't have work but have graduated from your space. But they will have to put in the CV so that we do the process of selection. The bodies, which is the one that is a large number of young people, which we need to revise, because what we do currently, we go through provinces and municipalities. The proper way was to say, give us your indigent register so that we can assess who are these poorest families that might have the young people within, so that those are the ones, if they do qualify, to go through this program. It has its own challenges. This is the one that we typically need to review and request that we advertise properly, everybody move. But we use municipalities to say, we have this program, please apply. What's the other one? But broadly, that's how we do the selection, and it will be metric between the ages 18 to 25. But besides that, on an annual basis, we do have what we call the National Tourism Career Expo, where we are able to exhibit what we do as a department in terms of training programs. And sometimes we are also invited to provincial career expo, and we do participate in order to make sure that we communicate. But it's still not enough. We need to really get more platforms to be able to do that. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. We have identified all these risks. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are happening, but we are saying we may be challenged by this, and we've put plans in place to say in each of these things, this may be the best way to mitigate against the outcome of such risk should it materialize. So in some instances, it's things that are already happening. In some instances, it's things that have not necessarily materialized, but we foresee that if certain things are not done, we will be challenged in this way. So we try to prevent that before it occurs.
is, I think through the church, it's only few additional remarks that I can do. In terms of the blue flag, the way I understand how it functions is not solely a municipality's function. There's some work together with the Department of Environmental Affairs, as well as the National Department of Tourism, of course, working with some of the provinces. So to me, I would say it's a collective type of collaborative work, that yes, those places are in the municipalities, but in terms of the regulation and all the legislation that deals with that, it is worked upon from the national government going down with those municipalities. But I do agree that in terms of making it work, you will need to have a buy-in from the municipalities, so that you can be, they can label into their IDPs with the elements then of making sure that they look after those beaches, but also to encourage more visitors and the tourists to go to those beaches. So it is an overlapping type of responsibility, not only to the municipality. And I think the other questions I think were adequately answered, and some are ongoing, like the early strategy, etc., and all that. It's not only us and tourism, but you work with the transport department, you work with other relevant institutions that will make sure that we can attract a lot of those particular, even long-haul journeys, but also to make sure that the domestic ones can also work for all of us. So I think, to me, those are key issues raised, right? And some of them were comments and how the department has improved, which is quite good. Minister, I'm sure, will be quite happy that things are looking better in terms of how then from the Fifth Parliament, as I heard from most of you, much, much more better, clear, simple, straight to the point, then I'm sure we'll be able to. And then I'm sure the ACT one, there was a request, DG, to put in writing so that accountability can happen. I'm sure that will solve in terms of the oversight role, but even ongoing that in terms of making sure that the ACT can be able to do what the department envisages in terms of their marketing strategy, and seeing also working with the embassies and the offices and all those things are ongoing discussions, because in some of the embassies or the consulate, you'll find that it's not located within the areas where you'll get a lot of tourist attraction places, as then we have the tourism offices located to where you'll get a lot of attractions then from those which are not either consulate or the embassy. So those are the ongoing discussions, and see how better can you attract more. But points raised, I think, are all good to me, because they are indicating the one thing that we can do better in terms of our tourists, our strategy, and also making sure that we can attract a lot of tourists to come and spend time, but also spend their money. And also conferencing, it was raised as one aspect that we can be able to host as a country. Currently, we are hosting West Africa, where the minister comes from. So these international bodies are continuously, I think, giving confidence in us as a country to host such activities. And we hope we'll do much more in terms of different provincial capabilities, as well as how they can handle these, and make sure that maybe many of the provinces we have, your city, your conventional centers, because they seem to attract a lot of more even international delegates in huge numbers. In some provinces, you don't have those. So you find that it is a challenge now to host some of the very big conferences. So I think ongoing, we'll be able to do that. But it is not possible that in all the provinces, you'll have your conventional centers that are the same size. It will depend in terms of what that provincial growth strategy is, and how is it working then to make sure that we can be able to build such assets that are for a lifetime, I'm sure. But thank you very much.
Very much, Tim. Thank you, Chair. Indeed, honorable members, we really appreciate the questions that have been asked, because they are going to assist us to look and improve on how we have presented. First and foremost, Chair, we really also want to enhance our oversight on SAT, so that they are not just technical, but they are carrying the mandate. We are having the sessions where we meet with the board and the DG interacts, as he indicated earlier on. And we're even looking into our representation at the level of the department. Currently, if the person who represents the department is at chief director level, and in terms of the reporting and at strategic level, it's problematic. So we are looking into that. The second issue, Chair, is in the oversight, which is our communication with South African Tourism, is the fact that we are giving money. We are not just looking at them reporting on numbers. They must report on jobs as well. So we are really looking with them, for instance, when it comes to your business event, which is, as Honorable Foss was indicating, it's one area that is boosting much more of tourism in numbers. Where if we make use of the young people in this exhibition, it should not just be that period of volunteering. You know, they must also look into making a clear contribution around that. And at the same time, in terms of the exhibition, the market access that you are giving. So we want them to monitor the impact. They must give us from the enterprises that they are supporting something that monitors them, their growth, and all of that. So it's not just those that the department is dealing with. So even from their side, they have a responsibility. So we are working on that. Chair, you mentioned the delays in terms of the work that we do due to external partners. I think it had to do with the skills development programs and the report, the third quarter report, some of the information where we could not meet the target. Chair, we're saying, in fact, the department, we're saying even in terms of the manner of reporting, I mean, of aligning is the PPIs. But when we put it in the columns, it's work that we are sure it's going to start come first quarter of the month. It should not be work that is still going to be researched upon. It can be if it is a three-year kind of program that you know. But if we put it here, it means it must kick in first quarter. So we'll be upping our socks, Chair, in terms of monitoring that we meet the target. We cannot disappoint young people. The other thing is on the, I just want to have on the cooperative governance issue. Because often, although we put it here, it is not what happens. The capacity may not allow us to be everywhere in terms of municipality. But we have what we call working groups as we work with provincial government and local government as part of our working relationships. We also are using that platform to ensure that provinces also do their bit. So we will be working with them. Not all municipalities are active when it comes to tourism. So some do take initiatives, but others That is where now we are going to have this targeted approach where we can see a potential. That is where we also will be redirecting or reviewing our approach in terms of TEP funding moving forward. Because what is happening is that at the moment it is TIP, not yes. What is happening now is mostly targeted to projects as would have been identified. But we want to have a targeted precinct so that we are also able to monitor as ourselves whilst we will be using the lessons coming from the previous projects and the current projects that we are running. The other thing, Chair, I wanted just to also get into is, I think, appreciate Honourable Force's input. Indeed, we are looking at how we can, you know, utilize the resources that we have, because we are one government. We will be really seeking, looking into our approach in terms of allocation of resources, as well as the hub strategy that we talked about earlier on, in order to spread much more of our wings to reach the whole country, because there are new markets now. And then, Chair, we've targeted several departments that we are going to have engagements with, so DECO is part of those departments. Chair, in terms of the incentive program and radicality, we think in the immediate, the fund that we are establishing, that we're going to announce during the budget vote, is seeking to really look into issues of interventions around township tourism, rural tourism, and the precincts that we're talking about. That's where we're going to action it and immediately, which is also going to assist us as then moving forward to spread it to other areas. So we'll be piloting, for instance, with Vilakazi District, because we want to develop the concept as we are on the ground, so that we can implement in the other areas. The money that you are sending, therefore, to SAT, is also meant to target those SMMEs, each on the grading side, but also those who are given market access in terms of in line with what the Conventions Bureau is saying. Deputy Minister is bringing into the department a wealth of experience in terms of enterprise development. And we've asked her to assist us in terms of our enterprise development program, so that even the issue of incubators is looked at, so that we are not just talking about having centers of incubation. We want SMEs that are growing. So she's going to assist us even before the finalization of then whether we're going the same route of the incubators. Moving forward, we don't want to bring in numbers. We want to bring in the work that we're going to do around enterprise development. So when we report coming back, because we are going to sit down and plan moving forward and look at into what our approach is going to be. And I think, honorable members, even in terms of the transparency, in terms of recruiting our young people, we'll be looking at, as DDG Mbongo was saying. And honorable force on the, was it honorable force on the S strategy? There was a very strong discussion yesterday around open skies at the World Economic Forum. Chair, we have moved, as was indicated, as a country in terms of the implementation of the super declaration. But the issue is around the integration, the regional integration. And it was very clear there that, you know, countries are not moving in the same direction. But at least up to your AU level now, it has been elevated, and it's coupled with issues of visas, because you can't just talk the air without the visa regime and all of that. But critically, is it also needs to be coupled with the issue of infrastructure in those respective areas. So. And also, on top of it, it has to do with the fact that countries also want to protect their sovereignty. They want to protect themselves and all of that. So it's quite a debate. At least it has been elevated to that level where we're looking into the issues of national carriers versus whoever else coming in. So it's quite a debate that we also, even at the level of the tourism ministers, we want to take up so that we also can, input in terms of the agenda as it comes to the African Union, so that there can be much more implementation that is integrated, so that it can also help even our own allies. On the ocean economy chair, which is my last response, indeed, we are not moving fast as the Department of Tourism. Yes, we entered 18 months after the start of the whole ocean economy space, but we have now moved, because we've been to provinces, all the respective provinces, and we are lined up to present that document to our MINMEC on the 15th, and we're taking it to cabinet so that at least we get into the space and are able to implement, because with it, although there will be provincial programs, or they are based in provinces, we want to ensure that they also get into the space of being marketed as much internationally, those programs as they have been. I think, Chair, with the finalization of the National Tourism Sector Strategy, that is just out for public participation, we hope to reflect better on some of the other issues that would not be accommodated in the strategies that honorable members are suggesting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Foster, is it a burning question?
Just in response to the Minister on the air travel issue, if I may just raise it.
Okay.
I'll be fast. The air access or air lift is an important part of the work that we should do. I think the Deputy Director General mentioned that in terms of their discussions with transportation, you had, it took some time to convince them that it's in fact a tourism issue. But I think that's the issue. People see tourism as leisure. Tourism is in fact travel. It's how we move people around. But air travel in South Africa, Minister, is very expensive. There are three taxes on an airplane ticket. You have your VAT, your fuel levy, and your airport tax, AXA. That's three taxes that you are paying on a single airfare. We are one of the very few countries, if not the only country, still doing that. And I think that's where we need to start the debate. We need to look at ways to make air travel much more affordable, because if you look at the base fare on an airplane ticket, it's cheap.
Yeah.
But if you look at the taxes, three taxes, it's crazy. So the AXA tax, it's an important one because we need to put money back into our airport infrastructure. The second one being the fuel levy, it's important. We need to offset our carbon footprint and all the other things that fund should go, or that funding should go towards. But that, why pay government three ways on a single airfare? So Minister, that is where the debate should start in terms of making air travel much more affordable. But in terms of your air access strategy, I would love to see that air access strategy for South Africa, the one that has been developed. Because if one city can pull 3 billion rand in additional revenue from last year, July, up to now, just think of what we can do for South Africa if we have a strategy for South Africa in terms of airlift, and that we don't sit and it's a transport issue or a tourism issue, but that we actually get the strategy presented here, see what it's about, and actually work on that strategy to promote travel in our country. But in conclusion, the airfare issue is something that I would like to put forward. I've written to the chairperson of this committee already, requesting the Treasury to come and report to us on that VAT and fuel levy and the airport taxes levy, because that's part of the big debate. We should scrap the VAT and only pay the airports and the fuel levies and not the VAT, because that's over excessive taxation on a base airfare. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the presentation. I hope we'll get better quarterly reports in the beginning of the financial year. I hope the fourth quarter report will be better. And maybe we'll be at the end hour, maybe we'll be not due to parliamentary schedule. Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.
Is that the problem? Yeah. Well, at least you have evidence that you've been doing that. Gender yami, 2 minutes.